Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it's perhaps the most famous industry name on the island with connections to the most famous ship in history. I am, of course, talking about the great engineering company and shipbuilder that is Harland & Wolff. But there is now a fear that its glory days might be in the past and that its future is extremely precarious. Margaret Canning is the business editor with the Belfast Telegraph, and she joins me now to discuss this wonderful legacy. Margaret, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bobby.
Just firstly, remind us about Harland & Wolff and its, I suppose, the great industry and its place in shipbuilding and, I suppose, employment in Northern Ireland.
It's been a hugely significant enterprise over the years in Northern Ireland, Bobby. It was founded in 1861 and grew into the dominant shipbuilder, the most dominant shipbuilder in the world, building the Titanic warships during the Second World War. And at its peak, employed 35,000 people, and much of East Belfast was built around the shipyard. And its legacy is always very visible in Belfast because of the presence of the two cranes, Samson and Goliath. So it really does have huge significance in Belfast, but it has been in decline for a long, long time, and it's really, at the moment, in perhaps the worst and the messiest crisis of its history, and it has been in a lot of very touch-and-go situations over many years, though this is particularly acute at the minute.
Okay, so we've got this unusual conundrum where they've been given a huge order to the value of building four naval ships. So they've banked this order, but they've got huge debt. They're paying interest on rates on loans at something like 14%. So their finances are looking really precarious.
Yeah, it's really, really shaky for them, Bobby. And maybe the interesting thing, and what will be new to many of your listeners, is that Harland & Wolff now means more than just the Belfast shipyard. The shipyard, as we would traditionally think of it, was sold 5 years ago to a company called Infrastrata, which then took other shipyards around the UK under its ownership and changed its name to Harland & Wolff. Such was the symbolism of the Harland & Wolff name. They wanted that name to go forward into the future, but their financial acumen hasn't been great, so they've entered into loans with an investor, Riverstone, in New York, leading to them paying interest of 14%. And it's only a small member of a consortium, which includes a massive Spanish shipbuilder. They all won that contract for $1.6 billion with the Royal Navy. Together, Harland & Wolff Belfast's role was going to be important, but it wasn't going to be a huge part of that contract. But in order to fulfil that contract, they applied for an government export development guarantee, which would have ensured that the taxpayer would have borne the liability for more loans had Harland & Wolff gone out of business. But the UK government decided this week that it just couldn't, in all good conscience, it couldn't provide that backup because they just felt the company wasn't commercially viable. And even earlier this month, they announced that they weren't going to be able to file audited accounts. They suspended their trading on the junior London stock market. And since then, it's been a series of increasingly bleak announcements and developments about Harland & Wolff. So it's a worrying time, really.
Yeah, a couple of things there. You mentioned that it's part of a bigger conglomerate that, I suppose, benefited from the name of Harland & Wolff. They've got two sites in Scotland, Mehill on the Firth of Forth and Arnish on the Isle of Lewis. And there's also an operation in Appledore in North Devon. So am I right in saying that the this naval contract, that these other yards were going to be more or less doing most of the building work for these naval ships?
Exactly, yes. They would have been doing the majority of the work, and Belfast's precise role in that work wasn't completely clear. I mean, there was a big announcement a few years back, and it was a very feel-good atmosphere down at Harland and Wolff that day. But it really, it did feel, even at the time, too good to be true. Can we really hark back and recapture those glory days when Northern Ireland's economy has transformed so much and is no longer reliant on that type of heavy engineering? So it really, all along, felt a little bit too good to be true. And then the biggest partner in that joint venture is a Spanish shipbuilder, Navantia, and they seem to be the guys who've got the real prowess and the real brawn to actually complete the contract. So it really has felt that, I mean, there's no going back to those good old days for Harland and Wolff.
Yeah. One of the other things I noted was that last week the CEO, John Wood, taking leave of absence with immediate effect. That's never a good sign.
No, definitely. Yeah, no, certainly that announcement came, I understand, as a condition of Riverstone, that New York-based investor, their continued involvement was conditional on him leaving. So instead, they've appointed an executive chairman called Russell Downs, who's got a track record in recapitalization and restructuring. So it seems that Harland and Wolff wanted that government guarantee because it was going to really solidify what they wanted to do and put them in a better position as far as fulfilling that Royal Navy contract was concerned. But after failing to get that guarantee, they're kind of thrown back into the arms of Riverstone. And I reached out to Riverstone for comment last week and they haven't come back to me. So who knows what it's like behind the scenes and in the boardroom at Harland and Wolff. It must be a really tense time, but a lot of people here are quite matter of fact. I mean, our economy minister says he wants to protect the jobs, but nobody's looking at bailing out the company this time. And I think there is an acceptance that our economy is no longer reliant on shipbuilding. We've got a lot of other really positive things going for us. And if the worst happened, it would be a disaster for a lot of people who are employed at the minute.
And how many people are employed at the site at the moment?
Yeah, in Belfast, a couple of hundred.
Right.
I had asked the spokespeople for Harland and Wolff how many are specifically employed in Harland and Wolff. They don't share the information. They said they couldn't find out. But from talking to other people, it seems a couple of hundred, and those people are working on a ship repair job at the moment.
Right. And I suppose finally then, Margaret, if you look at the site of Harland and forget about, I suppose, the engineering and the shipbuilding, is there a view from some that it may be worth more as something else? Would that be a concern?
Yeah, definitely it would be, and that is one very strong possibility. I mean, it's not going to be, but it wouldn't be bought over as a going concern if and probably when it goes into administration, but there would be people interested in some of the assets of it. And Harland and Wolff itself owns the land, and they have about 60 years, I understand, left on their lease with Belfast Harbour Commission. So there is a lot of value in the land. I mean, that's the site of the huge Titanic quarter. So it is very, very valuable land indeed.
Well, thanks for enlightening us, Margaret. We'll keep an eye on it. That's Margaret Canning there from the Belfast Telegraph.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.